Previously on the Atypical Sports Show.
Did you see that noodle Twitter hate on me?
No. What happened?
His mom said, why is it every time there's a vent, you have to have your corny ass jokes? Just watch the game at STFU.
No way.
And my joke was, I said.
Oh, African wives.
I said, how many wives does Luol Deng have? Or something like that.
Right.
So he might be African, maybe. I don't know.
Dude,
I touched his soul.
Dude, and he got mad and sent that tweet to you. Did anybody else respond to that?
Yeah, well, his homeboys was like, and like, you know, right. But then a couple of people said, why don't you tell him to unfollow? I thought it was brilliant, you know, and then right. I got other LOLs on it, but it was a thrilling day.
Dude, I would have just purposely sent him stuff. Like, so anyway, this African walks into a hut.
I don't know if he was African or not.
Right.
I don't know. It was fun though, man. I felt like I was a success on Twitter because somebody officially took the time to type the hate on me.
Right.
Like, if it's not funny.
Dude.
If it's not, I mean, I've read through 100 not funny stuff.
Right.
I don't have the time to tell somebody about it.
Exactly. That's so funny though, but people be getting so hurt. Why are you so hurt?
Sports Radio is
atypical.
Welcome to the Atypical Sports Show with your host, Robin Key. The Atypical Sports Show brought to you today by ArizonaCoreBaseball.com. Contact Rafael Melchione to get your lessons and mention Atypical Sports Show and you do get your first free lesson, your first lesson for free. What up, Key? Thursday, May 26, 2011, Atypical Sports Show coming to you live and direct from the Mill Avenue Studios.
I'm so disgusted right now.
Dusted and disgusted.
Just fresh off that disappointing loss. It's kind of a sigh of relief, though, you know. I know the Bulls lost, but I really wasn't even tripping until we start setting up for the show and Rob said he didn't have the top 50 list for Fords. Like, I was cool with the loss. Like, I wasn't expecting it. I'm not happy with it. But, you know, 5 minutes... No, wait. 5 seconds before the show, we put the push play.
Mm-hmm.
You got the list. No, I don't have it. I printed it. I don't know where it's. I said my. And then he gave me the courtesy look through his bag. I think it's in my bag. Hold on. I don't have it. So basically,
it was effort. There was effort shown right there.
Yeah, it was some weak ass effort, which made me pissed off. Where I told him Sunday because we were supposed to do the show last Monday, and I'm glad it actually worked out that we get to do the show now that the series is over.
Right.
Meaning the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference Finals. So we were supposed to do the show Monday. Things came up. I said, yo, Rob, man, why don't you print out the list? Because we're going to go ahead and do the top 50 forwards.
Last week,
if you didn't get to listen to the show, download it. Matter of fact, if you ain't on iTunes, subscribing to us where you can catch up on
old shows. Listen to us right now. Turn us off right now. Straight up.
No, he's bullshitting. Listen, because this might be the first time you listen.
Oh, my fault.
So, hey, welcome. But I just kind of want to revisit what we talked about last week in case you whack ass didn't listen. We went and we crossed off names off of the top 50.
We eliminated niggas.
Get off of here. And they weren't really dead. There were a lot of white people.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You know what? And I guess that's the first time I really shouldn't say niggas because I eliminated a lot of Anglo-Americans.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of times you probably shouldn't use that word. But, you know, we'll talk about that off air.
Touche.
But
I've never seen a nigga say nigga in one sentence and then say touche in the next sentence. All right, go ahead.
But, Rob, we're supposed to come with the forwards this week. And guess what? We can't. We're not even going to try it.
Okay, so this is like the culmination of our relationship. Because Key knows that there's a 30% chance of you thought that I didn't bring that list. What percentage was it?
About 50.
Oh, 50? Damn.
Yeah, man, because I don't know, dude. It's just, I hate to say it, man. I really don't have any confidence in what you say you're going to do.
And I understand that.
I'm not trying to say anything, but if you tell me, hey, I'm going to be at such and such hour, at such and such minute, I'm not really going to take it serious.
But I've dramatically improved in the times that we've known each other, I've dramatically improved in my No?
You know, I was just thinking, there's probably a 30% chance you lied to my face and you didn't even print the list.
Oh, no. I printed the list.
Okay. So it's almost like...
You know, brothers always say that.
Yeah.
No, for real. Don't be going at me like that, dog.
And
I didn't say real talk, so you know I did print the list.
Well, this is what I want you to do.
Okay.
For this summer, it's kind of weak. So I need for you, realistically, we're going to summer school of podcasting.
Oh, no. Remember our last school of podcasting? It didn't work out very well.
Yeah, but listen.
Okay.
This year, we got a simple assignment.
All right.
You are responsible
Uh-oh.
In running the top 50 NBA list.
Okay.
So what I want to do is I'm going to buy my coworker a notebook. Like, I don't know why you didn't listen to me or Doug.
Okay.
When we said, hey, why don't you have a notebook that has notes about the shows? You can't rely on your phone, your laptop, and crippled up pieces of paper that you throw on the bottom of your bag.
But that's how I do it, though.
I know. We'll try something new. It's not like it's harder. It's just different. Obviously, it doesn't work 70% of the time.
50% of the, you said 50-50, dog.
Yeah, but realistically, you said 30-70, but realistically it's 40-60.
No, but it was 30%. I thought you said 30%.
Yeah.
You didn't think I was. I was like 70%.
And I
said you're going to do it.
And I said 50. So realistically, 60. In the middle, it's 40-60.
60-40.
So 60% of the chance you're
going to
do it.
Okay, yeah.
So 40% of chance you're not going to do
right.
it. And, man, I all
but
I
what
want
if I
to
forget
do-
the notebook? See, that's what I don't want to get myself in trouble. What if I forget the notebook?
Well, you have to start. You don't even have a notebook to forget.
Okay, so it's baby steps.
Yeah, it's like.
Like, what about Bob?
Yeah, it's like, if you have the notebook, it's almost like.
Will
like
you
me,
give me a notebook for my birthday?
Next year.
Okay.
Yeah. Or you can work. I can give you. I got an extra one.
Okay.
You can kind of just like your forward birthday present.
All right.
But see, dude, you don't know how liberating it is to become the mentality of a writer where you're writing down notes, watching a game. And you can. Do you like how I flip pages and I refer to my notebook?
Oh, I really do like your technique, how you do that with your six different beers and then your notebook and how you scroll there. And you know what? You've been a better word of the day guy because you said, Shelly, you wrote it down. You started writing things down. So I understand how that's worked for you. And I'm willing to take on a portion of that.
Okay. And I don't even understand how you never have word of the day ready. Like, why is there always an awkward pause? That's another example of it. Like,
I do have a word of the day ready. Every time I look at it on my phone, I just have it on my phone. See, your problem is that my access to the information that's needed for the show is more digital.
No, because it's in three different sources, like
right.
I said before.
So that's why you got that pause, because it's more digital.
If you had a notebook on your phone that
Ooh.
Had all of the notes,
uh-oh.
I'd be cool with it.
Uh-oh. Okay, then.
You know what, man? Bring in them horns. Test mode.
What,
we're bringing
four.
It in?
I feel like Doris Burke right now. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Did you like those Spanish horns I just brought in? The little Herb Albert, the Lonely Bull? You like that?
Nah.
Of course you didn't. You're a hater. Anyways.
No, I do love Herb Albert. Dude, come on, dude.
Yeah, but you didn't like those ones.
No, but because you always... I want to go back to the original horns.
Yeah,
like, but I haven't heard those forever. It's been like a month.
Actually, it was last week we played the original horns. Did you even listen to the show?
No.
It was last week you played the original horns.
No.
Yes.
All right, it was. Okay, you know what?
You can't... Here's another thing. I love the original horns, too, but they're not cool if you play them every week. You got to mix them up.
Now, okay. I'll give you that. But what I'm saying to you is that I just like the original, man, because when it stays simple and it stays the original horns. Word.
First of all, you didn't even like the horns when I liked them. I love those horns.
But the horns grew on me. That's why I switched roles. I love them horns after that while.
I think I'm just making a point that when I liked the horns, they sucked. Now I want to use different horns. Now you like the horns.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
But it's not for the reasons you think.
I know, but I think it's like 40% of the reason, though.
We're doing a lot of percentages in today's show. Let's do a percentage show.
It's like I'm projecting my real anger because the
That's why I'm letting it go. See, a real friend takes information, takes a man. I know this man right now is smarting. I love the words. Smarting from the Bulls loss. Even though he knew it was inevitable that it was going to happen, the fact that it's clear in his face that it happened, that LeBron, they walked over him, they lost in six, Derrick Rose couldn't do anything about it, and they could not handle the Miami Heat's defense and their pressure, and they lost. And as a fan, I understand that.
So you don't understand.
I'm willing to take your anger and your venom just because I know that you need a release, because I don't want you to hit your wife.
Well,
I don't want you to go home and beat your wife up. I don't want you to hurt somebody at work. I'd rather just take it right here and let you release right here. That's what a real friend is.
So you were thinking my hesitation of being calm and sane, or another way of saying that, my aggressive shield I had up had something to do with the whole Bulls collapsing. You know what it had to do with?
No, I didn't say they collapsed. They just lost to a better team. I would not.
No, no. You saw the games, though, dude. The games in the overtime game. I mean, there's a collapse in the offensive scheme. And that's just me looking as a sports fan, regardless if I'm a Bulls fan. They have a collapse in the offensive mentality. There's a collapse as far as at the end of the games. They had chances to definitely take this to game seven.
Yes.
But regardless, my main point was, there's definitely going to be a collapse in the communication between me and my father this summer. Like, it's over. Like, there's no reason for me to call or him to call me on a Wednesday after on a Monday. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like the father-son conversations.
Right.
You almost have to always have, like, a gateway. Hey, man, how was the game? Blah, blah. Yeah. So how you doing? You go to the doctor, Pops? You know, like, you got to have that.
So you're saying it's either the Bulls or your dad got to have a heart attack. That's one of the two things.
I'm just saying, like you know how women are people talk to, like, you know how women talk to each other?
Yes.
Hey, how are you doing?
Right.
You go to the doctor.
Right.
What's going on?
Right.
You know, how you're feeling emotionally.
Right.
Fathers and sons are more like, how was the game? What's going on?
Uh-huh.
You know,
right.
Like, that's the entry.
I get you.
That's all I'm saying.
I get you.
Now that the Bulls are out, we used to call each other just...
Why can't you just call them and talk about Oprah? Because that's a big thing. You guys could talk about the last 3 days of the Oprah show.
Guess what? That's over too, idiot.
No, dude. But it's not over. You guys could... There's a lot of stuff to talk about the last 3 days of the Oprah show. Did you watch it?
Yeah. I'm talking about next week and a week after. Dude, this final is going to last 3 weeks. They don't start till next...
semester.
Next Friday.
Next Friday's movie come out.
I mean, goodness. How long we got to wait?
No, they said June 2nd. But that's, I mean,
today's day's May 26th, player.
Damn.
Dude, I already brought those horns in. You know what? I think you got your wish. Bring in the original horns, because that's the only way that's going to wake Rob up.
I like that.
We're flipping it up now. I like word of the day early. I like word of the day early because we can bring it in. We can bring it in throughout.
The word of the day today is clingent. Clingent.
Clingent.
Clingent.
Clingent.
Clingent.
Like a stage?
Clingent.
We have a stage?
Clingent.
Stage 10?
Clinger? You just think it's okay just to burp on the mic, you know, like that.
It comes out so gross, too. The worst part about it, them hearing it, are actually the molecules of the burp embedded into the phone.
To be honest with you, I care not about them, but more about me. I got the earphones on, and I hear you go, it just don't sound good. Clingent. In fact, it sounds a little clingent.
You have some audacity, my friend.
What?
Because there's noises you make on a mic as well that aren't burps, but
what, are they farts?
I don't know what they are. There's throat exercise.
I think we gotta pay attention. There's a lot of lip smacking and tongue smacking in the microphone too.
I'm just trying to cling it to the subject. C-L-I-N-G-E-N-T.
No. I'll give you one more chance because you're never going to get it.
Never going to get it.
Never
going
to
get it.
Never going to get it.
Ooh, 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 yeah. Do-do-ch, do-do-ch. Return of the Mac. Remix. Do-do-ch, do-do-ch.
All right. Clingent. One more time just for fun. Shits and giggles.
K.
Nope.
Okay, whatever.
Clingent. C-L-I.
Hold on, man. I got to call my dad right now. I'll see how he's doing.
Dad, can you spell clingent for me?
Hey, Dad, I know the Bulls lost, but I was just saying hi. How are you doing?
You guys want to listen to watch the Derrick Rose highlight film this weekend over on TiVo?
Hey, we can watch the Cubs.
Let's do a go-to meeting and watch Derrick Rose highlights on YouTube. Clingent. C-L-I-N. Q-U-A-N-T. Clingent. Glittering with gold or silver.
Hold on, it's not
clingent.
Can you spell that again, please?
C-L-I-N-Q-U-A-N-T.
How are you saying clingent?
This is how they tell you to say it. K-L-I-N-G-K-U-N-T. Clingent.
K-U-N-T. in T. That's Klinkhunt.
Klinkhunt.
Where's the K? What, you got to put the K is hard.
No, no. How you know it's hard?
Because it's a K. It would be a C.
How you know it's hard? It ain't that hard.
It's like Klinkhunt.
Oh, so I don't want to say that. I thought it was. That's the whole thing. That's why I was like real. For some reason, I got real.
Oh, you
I
got real, said G. Like, no, like how, deal, there's a Q
got,
in there.
Here's the deal. I read it, and then I read the pronunciation. I was like, well, I can't say it like that. And I was like, okay, well, then I'm going to silence that Caleb so it doesn't sound like I was saying clean cunt. Because if I said clean cunt, you would spell it, and then that's why I said clinkant.
Clinkant.
Clingant.
Yeah, clingant. You got to make the.
You said you didn't like when I made sounds on the microphone. You said I make too many sounds on the microphone.
The bass come out so clear. Cling.
You would say cling cunt. Cling cunt.
Cling cunt.
Okay, that's what it is. The word is.
Yeah, you. There was no k when you said it.
It felt like it was. No. I didn't want to have it too. Different.
And you're saying the way you've been saying it is very vulgar. The way I'm saying it is less vulgar.
Let me tell you. Say it again.
Cling cunt.
Okay, that's much better. You're better. Cling cunt.
Yeah.
Okay, and that is...
It's not clean cunt.
Clean cunt? Well, that's how it's separated. K-L-I-N-G, then a dash, and K-U-N-T.
It's just dash.
It's an it's adjective noun, glittering with gold or silver, tinseled. Your boy LeBron about to be clean cunt.
Your girl Kim Kardashian is 20.5 clean cunt.
How are you going to spend $2 million on a ring and you make 2.7 a year?
Dude, that is one of the... And the lockout's coming. That's right. One of the most asinine, absurd things I've ever... Well, how big is your wife's ring, may I ask?
Huh?
May I ask how big your wife's ring is? Is that a personal question?
What's less than a half a quarter of a millionth of a carat?
I don't... Is that a joke?
No, she had it. She had... Oh, okay, so... I don't know. It's a half carat?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's reasonable. Yeah, that's what people... That's a normal human being. Yeah. Okay. They say the biggest possible ring that someone else registered, I think, was Paris Hilton's when she was engaged for 6 hours, was 24 carats, and she said it was just too heavy to wear. 24 carats, 20 carats don't even make sense. 10 carats don't even make sense.
It's so weird. It's like, and what's so stupid about this dumbass is the fact that she wants to get married so bad. This is the time when you could have got away with a half a carat and been like, baby, I'm on a budget. I just want to be with you. And she would have been down.
The only thing that I have to take consideration is they may not have paid for the ring. I mean, People Magazine might have paid for it because every time they mention a ring, they have the designer's name right next to it. So he might have got 10 carats off. Okay. And then people might have paid another 5 carats. I'm just saying. Because whenever you have the cover story, I'm engaged and we're happy and a ring's there. Right. And then within the people, they mention the designer's name.
Right.
I don't know if he's that wise. Obviously, he's not. So it's Kim who got the ring.
Oh, probably.
Who made it happen.
Right.
Who got the endorsement.
Right.
Who got the brand.
Oh, yeah.
But he's looking like the freaking mark.
Right.
So even though... If somebody
but he was thinking he was looking like the pimp, though.
Yes.
But we know he's looking like the mark.
Yes. We know he ain't get the 20.
Right.
Like, in reality, that's how it went down. Kim Kardashian's people came to him and said, yo, you're going to engage to her.
Right.
We got this deal set up.
Right.
Here's the jewelry. People Magazine.
Right.
It's 20 carats.
Right.
Hold on, players. They know that's fraudulent.
Right.
Can I make it like 6.5?
Right.
Like, I'm really kind of balling.
Right.
But I'm not 20 carats. Right. Kim Kardashian.
They're like, no,
balling?
Kim Kardashian is a 20 carat kind of woman. And that's how they do it.
But you know what? Even if he put in 5 carats, I don't know if I have the ability to marry a woman after I know her for 6 months.
I just don't know.
Like, that's the point I was trying to make. Forget the carats. Forget the size. He's known her for 6 months. When was she with Miles Austin? Last season,
right?
6.5 months
ago.
That's the point I'm trying to make. If you don't spend at least one holiday with him, one Christmas?
Right.
I'm saying two.
Well, see, here's
but 5 months, player?
But here's the deal, dude. More of this stuff is all about agreements and about marketing and about money. It's not about love. It's not about, you know, it's about people wanting love, but they have a different way of looking at love. It's more of a like a settlement or like an agreement or like a contract that we both profit from this, you know? And I mean, shit, I know he knows in his heart he ain't got no money for no 20 carat. So obviously some hookup like that, because she has buying power, she has staying power, and she has connections, and she has a network. That's how you got a network like that. You do something and advertisers love it. So my boy Chris Humphries, I'm not mad at him, actually, because if I was him, I would try to get pregnant by her and have a baby.
You want a beer?
Take a leap over the broom. That's how you're making me feel. Come on in this room and let's keep it real and go. Life on the baby. All I need is your body next to me.
Singing ooh.
You're listening to the Atypical Sports Show.
Welcome back to the Atypical Sports Show.
A-tip.
My anger level dropped.
Yes.
From an 8 to a 4. You know, 10 being the highest level, 10 being that intense level. But I'm at a 4, man. I'm calming down. I realize that, hey, life is beautiful, brother.
Yeah.
And you know why I'm so happy?
Why? Because Team Kardashian got a 20-carat ring?
No, because for some reason, hopefully the lockout ends so evil and crime won't attack us.
I don't want it to end.
Well, I don't want crime and evilness to attack us, like Ray Ray said. Ray 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 is so intense, though. Play the clip real quick, Mike.
Do this research. If we don't have a season, watch how much evil, which we call a crime, watch how much crime picks up if you take away our game.
Why do you think that would happen?
There's nothing else to do, Sal.
Okay. Evil.
pretend like you're asking me questions, man. Because Ray Lewis is a mix between Desmond Tutu and who's your boy down there?
What?
Who's the pastor?
Eddie Long.
Yeah, and Bishop Eddie Long.
Yeah.
Okay, so. Yeah.
Matter of fact, who just got off on that lawsuit,
yeah.
Attorney B.J. Bernstein got him off.
No,
B.J. Bernstein was representing the men's. I'm sorry.
And they shrimps.
Yeah.
Okay,
young men's.
Them young men's and all their robes and shrimps. So you know how Ray Lewis, I mean, because you could just ask me, I think I'm going to do the next segment, all Ray Lewis talk.
Okay. Hey,
yes,
Rob. Who do you think's going to?
Yes.
Who do you think's going to win the NBA Finals?
Oh, it's no question. Dirk Nowitzki sent from God. Oh, I've been hearing about it for years. The man can't close. He's been closing since the beginning. The beginning. It's people. There's people out there suffering. Dirk Nowitzki, he's Jesus. He can save them.
You know, it's been 11 years
since
you've been to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And it's been 6 years since, or 5 or 6 years since Dwayne Wade.
Yes.
How would you feel if you made it back to the Super Bowl?
Oh.
And I'm just saying it because I kind of want you to like kind of feel how D. Wade's feeling now that he's back in the finals.
Blessed, brother, blessed. I just know that I got people in there in the foxhole. It's a war out there, brother. A war. You gonna fight it? We gonna let them fight you?
Ray, are you married?
Yes.
Are you married?
Yes.
How much did you spend on the ring for your wife?
I wouldn't go out. Oh, take this with a grain of salt. I'm not calling him a bitch or a mark. But there's people out there suffering. 20 million on a rock. You smoke 20 crack rocks. I'm intense, man. I'm intense. Thank you, Lord. I didn't see him stab that nigga. I didn't see him stab that nigga. Yes.
Ray Lewis.
Yes.
One thing I do got to ask you.
No.
I see you survived the rapture.
Oh.
What were you doing on Sunday at 6? Ooh. The rapture Saturday at 6.
Wait. I was up in church praising the Lord. I knew it because people gonna trip on this. I was halfway up there. I came back down because I knew, you know what? Lord said, Ray. I said, what, Lord? He said, there's a mission for you. I was like, what's my mission? He said, bring that championship home to Jesus. Bring that championship home to Jesus.
Hey, Ray, how far are you away? How far are you away from winning the championship?
Minutes. Minutes away.
Thank you, Ray Lewis, for...
Man, that brother's intense, man.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Man.
It's a typical sports show, man. I almost want to take a aquatic break because he, like, sucks all of the oxygen and the H2O molecules out of the air that I'm thirsty. Like,
right.
I need an old-school aquatic break.
Right. I think we need John.
We'll do it.
Let's do it. Let's be honest, we all like to look our best no matter where we're at. At 2x2 Hair and Makeup Artistry, they take that seriously. 2x2 Hair and Makeup Artistry, specializing in all hair textures and skin tones, available on location for weddings, runway, and print, commercial projects, or just because. Join the multitudes of people who have gone to 2x2 Hair and Makeup Artistry, like Muhammad Ali, Cedric the Entertainer, Tommy Davidson, Busy Bone, DMX, Young MC, and even CeCe Peniston. That's 2x2 Hair and Makeup Artistry. Contact Lori Gregory at 623-521-5934, where you can get the makeover of your dreams. That's 623-521-5934.
You're listening to the Atypical Sports Show.
Welcome back to the Atypical Sports Show. You're listening to your boy Key. Rob is here, sober Rob, which is kind of a weird dynamic that I'm getting adjusted to again.
Yo, man, it's just how it has to be done now, man. You know, there's been a lot of people. I had an intervention right at my house on Easter Sunday, and everybody got together and said, Robert, you got to cut out the blue moon. So the niggas just went to Michelob Ultra. Shit. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, man? No, it's a beautiful thing, man. I'm saving myself for the weekend because me and the wife, for our anniversary, we're going over to the hotel, kick it there for a weekend. You know, it's Memorial weekend. We're going to be on the, sitting out there laying out. I'm trying to get my tan on, you know. Yeah. What I'm saying, and she getting her tan on and drink some beers. I'm about to get.
How long you staying?
Man, until Sunday evening.
Man, that's good talk, dude. You know what I'm doing.
Ain't no pressure, man. What you doing for more weekend, man?
You know, it's kind of weird that you asked that, and I've never really fished for you to ask like
right.
How you do,
right?
So this is kind of a weird, kind of topsy turvy show. But I'm glad you asked. Thanks for asking, brother.
Yeah, no problem. What you doing?
I'm going to Reggie Walker's wedding in Tucson.
Reggie?
Getting married on Saturday, yeah.
Oh, that shit's going to be funny.
It's going to be funny, man. And here's the whole thing that's so funny about it. Reggie sent me a Reggie Walker Jackson, which is his name, birth name.
And he is whiter than the snow.
He's whiter than... Remember in that movie with Jim Carrey and Renee Zellweger? And they were running around. Ooh, and he had all those multiple personalities. Remember the white dude that they picked
was real
up?
Real pale.
That's how white.
Me, myself, and Irene.
Me, myself, and white teens. That's how pale he is. But this is the funny thing about it. He got so much black in him, like internally, that he didn't send out his wedding invitation until like 8 days ago. So I got the wedding invitation, and you know how they say, filling some music. And then he had the choice where it said, we're having steak and chicken. And I looked at it and said, is it a trick question? You send in a black man invitation and you're going to ask steak or chicken. I look closely. This mug already checked chicken on my box. Now, should I take offense of that?
No, unless you want a steak, no.
Yeah, I did it. How did he know? How did he know I wanted chicken?
Here's an example how I know. What's 2 plus 2?
I don't know, but you know what I did? I put steak, and then I on the top of it, I wrote fried, and I put extra hard.
I don't know. I want them shine shits fried extra hard. Give me some wings and fry them shits extra hard.
So if I don't have fried wings extra hard inside a hot sauce, what a side of hot sauce?
Hell yeah. But you know, you should just check the steak anyway, so you get steak and chicken. Knuckle.
That's a little greedy.
Oh, that's me though.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Hey, but I love, man. Hey, weddings is, there's very few events that you can go to where you are guaranteed to have a good time. And weddings is one of them. Weddings is always a happy time, man. There's never a really sad way unless everybody know that they're going to get divorced. They shouldn't be getting wedding, getting married, and I've been to one like that. But,
dude, wedding. Hold on, time out. So, were you?
I've been to a wedding.
Let me ask you a question.
I'll tell you straight up right now.
Let me ask you a question. When they say that, talking to everybody, does everybody hold their peace or whatever? Did you want to say something?
No, but, dude, here's the deal. I went to a wedding, and it's so funny. We were at, where were we at this weekend? Where we were at a hotel. We went to.
You go to more hotels and bars than
we were at Link. What we go to Lincoln. A friend of ours was staying at the Scottsdale Resort or something like that. So we went up there, and up in the hills was this house. That's where we went to the wedding at. And everybody there knew that they didn't love, you could just tell that they just didn't love each other. It was like an agreement. And later on, dude was gay. You know, I mean, it's obvious that dude looked like he was gay. I mean, the wedding was looking like you were in San Francisco. It was like, oot, 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 oot.
Was the son's little owner martini. There? Was the son's owner there? I mean, the son's employee VP?
No, what happened?
When he announced that he's gay?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Oh, wow. We're not going to get into that. Go ahead. That was like a joke that should have just rolled.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't really want to get into it because, I mean, it's like almost a week old.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, yeah. Okay, go ahead. Go talk about your stories more.
So it's interesting. So everybody kind of knew their...
Side note, Rob does not keep up with current events.
On the level. So it's so funny. We're all sitting there, and everybody kind of knew that the way they kissed each other, like, man, this shit ain't going to last. And, you know, they were divorced 6 months later.
Wow.
And they must have spent like $15,000 for the wedding. I don't understand how people get married and you don't want to get married.
Ask the Kardashians.
Yeah. Well, I think she wants to get married real bad. Mm. She been wanting to get married. She about to get knocked up in 6 months and divorce that fool.
Can you?
He can get his K-Fed on, though.
Can you prove to me Chris Humphries isn't like one of the Blake Griffin brothers or something?
Is he black?
I don't know, but he halfway balls. He after dude, he's 10
got,
to 10.
Dude, dude, yeah. He's got skills, dude. Is he young?
Yeah, he
does he have an upside?
25, 26. Yeah, okay. I mean,
so he get his half-ass Kevin Love on.
No, I mean, I think he's a great addition to like a good team.
Mm-hmm.
On a team like the Nets, who cares?
Right,
you know.
Right,
but I mean, the Nets might come up, and who knows? The Nets might get Dwight Howard. I think more than anything.
You think so?
Yeah, I think if it's going to come down to just straight free agency, maybe at the end, where all these imaginary trades that people are concocting in their head is not going to happen. But I think if the Nets, if the Nets got D Howard with Williams. And your boy right there playing the four?
Lopez playing four?
Well, Lopez, and then you bring in Chris Kardashian?
Mm-hmm. That ain't even right to call him Chris Kardashian.
Kris Jenner. Oh, that's her mama.
I'm so confused.
They spell her name with K's, though.
They do.
Yeah, it's not a G. It's not Gris, Rob. You know, K is like a hard consonant.
I love Gris.
Kris Kardashian.
Dude, I like Kris Kardashian. She's fine.
Kris Jenner.
Potato, potato. You know what I was talking about. Man.
No, I know what you... Now that there's a new Kris, you got to actually kind of separate
true, that's
it.
That's true. Kris Kardashian. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Dwight Howard, I don't see him going to the Lakers now. They don't have that feel to me.
Well, I don't know. What about Mike Brown? How you feel about that?
I'm really excited to talk to Kobe, you know, and we just gonna work some stuff. I texted Kobe. Kobe texts me back. I'm a real big guy when it comes to family. Me and Avery Johnson come from the school of thought of conversation, making sure that we speak clearly and concisely. I'm really excited about the opportunity to work with the Lakers and Dr. Buss.
That was pretty good.
Hey, you know, I'm working on that one. Okay, cool.
Yeah, but it was great though.
I tried.
I like Rob in this mode, man. You're willing to just go off the cuff.
Yeah,
you're experimenting. Yes. You know what? You're right, dude. Remember in the first segment when I was getting on your case, I was minutes off of the loss. I was minutes off the realization.
Right.
My 2 times a week conversations with my dad may turn into 2 times a month conversations to my dad.
Right.
I was fresh off of that, and I was getting on your case about, you need to be more organized. You need to do it like me. Bring a notebook like Key. Do it like me. But guess what? That's why we're the Atypical Sports Show.
This
you bring
true.
What you bring.
I bring
you come
I bring.
In loosey-goosey, because the minute I pegging assignment on you, your mind will start to just freeze up and lock up like a 1978 Oldsmobile where you can't get it free. You're doing all these tests and stuff.
Yes, sir.
Get in there. Come in the way you do it. Bring what you bring. I apologize.
Oh. I apologize.
What's the best I'm sorry song? I'm sorry, 2004.
Yes, but he dated it. He shouldn't have dated the song.
He ruined the song. Yes. That's why other rappers, remember, you know, other rappers, yeah, when they say
LP, Extra P, Extra P said, oh, no. Homeboy Q-Tip said, yo, man, my boy Lars Professor said, you know, you don't put the date on the record.
Exactly. You don't. But when he said, I'm sorry, 2004, if he would have just said, I'm sorry, dude.
I'm sorry. He should have said, I'm sorry. No, this is how he should have did it. I'm sorry. January, February, March, April, May. June, July, something like that. Just, I'm sorry for January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October.
Chris Bosh be an R&B singer?
Chris Biatch.
No, but you know what, dude? Chris Bosh is getting his, though. It's just, you know what it is? It's just, it's not an impressive, but it's the 15-footer is disrespected.
Why is his jaw shrunken in like he's on that Dick Gregory diet?
Dude, his jaw shrunken in like he's this close to turning into that skeleton on Raiders of the Lost Ark? You know, when they shrink up, you know, he's like almost stage five to where they just suck up.
Doesn't and
he's
getting a skeleton. Healthy.
No, not at all, dude.
Health is not on his side.
Just think how scary he looked with them dreads, though, dude. That saved his life cutting them things off.
Oh, man.
Dude, them dreads, that was one of the worst moves ever.
Well, I guess
he is
so.
An avatar.
Back about songs, the only one that worked was 93 Till Infinity. Because they threw Infinity on there.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? They threw Infinity on there, bro.
Yeah.
I like, dude.
Why'd you say bro? Why you bust out the pro right now?
Dude, the reason why I broke into bro is because I got stupid, the freaking Double XL magazine. They have the top 250 hip hop songs of the 90s.
Nigga, why didn't you bring that out in the beginning? Should have been over where the man, show me them horns that bring in the magazines.
I'm like, bro, right now.
I would make it up to you. Hey, but funny thing I was noticing though, man, is I went to my daughter's play tonight. And
she a thespian?
No, man, my daughter had a play and she's graduating from kindergarten. I don't know why they do graduation or anything, just so they can get you to buy something. But so anyway, Key Man. So you know how my daughter Kiara, she loves to dance. I mean, dude, she's a dancer, dog. So they're doing
dance.
They're singing all these songs, and my daughter is the only one who's clapping. But she's clapping. I mean, the songs you got to clap to, but she's doing like just doing her moves to it, like dancing.
Hold on,
just,
man.
Like,
there's a fine line between cute and ghetto. Did you have it on tape? Maybe we can put it on YouTube.
Dude, I have it on tape.
Is it ghetto?
No, not at all. It's
almost ghetto.
No.
I like ghetto.
No. Did I offend you? No, not at all. Not at all. It's rhythmic. Like, it would have been ghetto if it wasn't on beat.
Somebody called it ghetto there.
No, I walked out. Somebody called it ghetto. No, we walked out and people were like, you were the best one in the whole concert, Lou. And like she's walking out like, you're a great dancer. You're the one who made it. Because it wasn't like she was off beat. She has so much rhythm that it looked real. And the kids, you know, kids snap when they're doing a little program and they're all off beat. My daughter was the only one going and she was swaying back and forth. And then in the middle of it, she's waving at me. Like, waving, smile. It was the funniest thing ever, man. My girl got skills. I love that girl so much. All right, so give me the top 25.
No, I'm not doing it. I was just bringing it up because.
Oh, man, can I guess the top?
No, you know why?
This is exciting for me.
Because the summer's coming and I'm putting this magazine away for July.
You are not lying, dog.
I'm putting that magazine away for
why'd
July.
Why'd you bring it up? Was that one of those radio teases that 3 months later you suffice it? Coming back in 3 months.
No, actually.
We have the top 25.
Actually, I had one point. The point I was going to make was whenever there's a black woman's name in a song, there's somebody going to die. Like, it's very dramatic. Brenda's got a baby.
Oh, hell yeah.
Renee.
Right.
Khadijah.
Oh, dude, that was a jam. Is Khadijah on that list?
No, I only got to top 100.
Dude,
but it
Khadijah
has to be,
is
though.
The jam.
To
oh,
as I say,
gosh.
Think of all the songs that just got a black woman's name in it.
Right.
It's death and drama. Right. That's the only reason why I brought it out, because I just want to bring out that element to it.
So
Katrina, like Hurricane Katrina.
Right. Okay,
oh, that's another song, but you know, drama.
Oh man, I need to do a hip hop song with Jennifer in it then. Just make it all positive.
Oh no, Jennifer. Oh, Jenny. De La Soul had Jennifer. But Millie shot Santa Claus with the shotgun, De La Soul. Anyways, this is a typical sports show, and we're giving you like a preview of this summer. Like I said, there may be people that hasn't listened before. This is the first time you're getting a little preview.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. We throw sports in. We do it in a typical way. But I'm going to tell you one thing. It's coming straight from our
lungs to your eardrums.
Some of that unfiltered sports talk. And when we say unfiltered, that means it doesn't have any filters. It doesn't go through any filtration system. There isn't any cleansing of the words we say.
There's no big man up above us saying, you need to say this. This is how we do it. This is how we come at you. Atypical Sports Show, Rob and Key. Atypical Sports Show, brand flavor. That's how we doing it, man.
And if you have a problem with it, then call me then. 480-664-9378. And if you don't have a problem with it, you got praises. We like praises too. 480-664-9378. Speaking of the number, we going to push these buttons. It's Fan Interaction Friday, like the old school. Let's listen to a voicemail.
It's your boy Horn. Just want to drop a quick A-tip talking about these NBA playoffs. It's been great. I'm calling tonight. It's halftime in game four. Great game going on thus far between the Bulls and the Heat, and we'll see what happens in the second half. But what I'm calling about is listening to the Simmons podcast, and Mark was talking about how he thought he was the best player in the world until he ran up into Jordan, against Jordan, should say, in the quest for Jordan's three-peat back in 93. And so I pulled up the stats, and Jordan, we forget how great he was sometimes, you know, and because we talk about the great players right now, and I know everybody still recognizes Mike as best, but I just got to name out some of these stats real quick. Game one, they beat the Suns. Jordan goes to 31. He shoots 50% in field goal percentage. Game two, Jordan goes for 42, and he also shoots 50%. Barkley goes for 42, by the way, and Suns still lose, so they're down 0-2. Suns come back. They were my squad back then because I was living in Phoenix. And Jordan goes for 44 in a loss, shooting 44%. In the next game, Jordan goes for freaking 55 in the Bulls, actually in Bulls loss. And then, you know, excuse the Bulls victory. Then Jordan goes for freaking 41, shooting 55% in game five in a loss. And then in game six, the closeout game that everybody remembers, Jordan goes for 33, shooting 50%.
The dude was incredible, man. And I don't think we've ever seen a better final performance of anybody ever. So just want to get your thoughts on that. The only one I can think that may have been close, but it wasn't on this level, was the D-Wade performance. Go check out his stats. You can check out basketballreference.com. D-Wade, the first two games, they lost the first two, and he was kind of missing in action, but then he went berserk after that. So anyhow, hope you brothers all right. I'm done.
It's a great voicemail, man. There's so many points I want to approach. One of them is I've studied like Jordan's six championships. Every championship was different because there was just different matchups that were good for Jordan. There was different matchups that were better for Pippen or better for their offensive rebounding or better for whatever system they had in place. There was always a weakness that they chose to exploit. In that series, there's nobody on the Suns who could guard Jordan. I think Hornacek was in that game, wasn't he? Was it Hornacek on the Suns then? When they played 93?
Hornacek was with the Suns, yes.
And so there was nobody on that team who can guard Jordan. Like, not one person, like, who could even really...
I think they were messing with the crackhead.
Richard Dumas was trying to guard him.
Yeah.
And that was, yeah, whatever. But the other series that Jordan played, you know, like, against the Jazz, there was always...
Marley was guarding him. Hello.
That's even worse.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
But
what I'm saying...
You give Marley... Nobody can guard Jordan.
No. But I'm talking about athletically give him a matchup. Except for Gary Payton. But athletically give him a matchup. You know, like Byron Russell gave him a matchup that he couldn't necessarily... Even though he hit that game when shot, but still, I remember that series because I was here, and I remember very distinctly that series. Like, damn, Jordan is he is so much better than everybody else, and so is Charles Barkley. I put him in that category that time. That Charles Barkley, that there's no reason that there's no way that the Bulls should be able to beat the Suns. I really thought going that series that the Suns, dude, they just had so much talent. Dude, they were deep.
They were
deep. They were deep, man.
But you know, we're talking about the first
three-peat.
Yeah, I was trying to come up with a clever word to present the Bulls. But, hey, we're talking about the first set of the championships. And everyone always says the second set is better. But I think the first set beat better teams.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
On the long run. But mm-hmm. the first set had Horace Grant, who we can't sleep on. They didn't have Longley. That's when they had Winnington.
Right.
And Cartwright.
Right.
They had B.J. Armstrong.
Yes.
They had, obviously, Pippen and Jordan.
Yeah, Hodges, right?
Craig Hodges. Right. Yeah, it was a different makeup, but it was a younger and more athletic Jordan, and the Dobermans were really out. It's great to make comparisons as Scott did, because all we have is history.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Numbers.
And I like making a comparison with Jordan and Pippen, and more specifically, Jordan's performance, even though he had a Pippen. Mm-hmm. And like Scott illustrated all of the great games. And it was so funny when Scott said he had 33 but shot 50%. He said 33 like 33 wasn't shit.
Right, yeah.
But it still was 33 points. 33. You know, like, now if LeBron happened to have a great series now, it'll be tiptoeing to where he needs to be, one of the greatest players of all time. A great series for LeBron, and I'm going to ask you, I'll almost call you damn near James or Rodder. I don't know. I'm going to ask you, Robert, what's LeBron need to do as far as numbers-wise to win this series or to be put on the same arena as we're discussing Michael Jordan, as Scott discussed Michael
Jordan?
Here's
the deal. It will never be that arena because LeBron James is more of a complete player. LeBron James is not that deadly scorer, but LeBron, the best thing for LeBron to do for them to win is to have 21, 11, and yes. 8.
But we, I respect and they will that.
But see, just like we respect we Magic, respect though. That.
Just like we respect
we
Magic.
But we respect that. But as far as out there for them to put him on a level of Jordan, it's kind of like, now he didn't score 35. But this man can go in there and get a triple-double anytime he wants to.
And more importantly, just like I was sitting here watching these Bulls games 4 and 5 specifically, it glared in my eyes like a police light shining in my eyes. Like,
you've been drinking, son.
You have your license and registration, son. Do you have a shooting guard, son? Do you have anybody else who can shoot besides Derrick Rose, son? What was shown to me was when it came down to the fourth quarter, LeBron James, 6'8", 275, 80 pound, quote unquote, agile self was guarding Derrick Rose. And mm-hmm. Derrick Rose looked nothing closer than a psychotic wreck because he knew he couldn't do anything. His confidence was stripped when number 6 was in front of him.
Nothing. And he was like, even if I get by him, I'm still kind of worried about him just catching up and making a play. You could just tell he was. Didn't he say something like that in the press conference? Like, I read something like flippantly that he was like, man, I mean, LeBron was man 6'8 trying to guard you. You know, I couldn't, you know, he even admitted as such. It's the same thing. Derrick Rose, man, he's a really, 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 really good player.
Very good player. Didn't look good at all because he had what I think he was a victim of what I think LeBron James and the Miami Heat's greatest strength is, mm-hmm. and that's their trapping defense.
Right.
Just like I said in podcasts before, I said, not if the Heat get that aggressive defense, when they get that defense and they get those stops, they're going to run tables. They're going to win 3 or 4 championships, which in today's terms is great.
We watched the game, though. I mean,
yeah.
I would like to discuss. I know you did. But did you see the way it just changed? That 17-2 run wasn't about them scoring.
It was
about
that.
Dude, they couldn't get past half court. Yes. Them shots were forced. Everybody was panicking, and it was like they were everywhere.
That's the key. And I think.
Did you think they knew they could do that? See, here's my question.
Yes,
defense
did.
Is all about effort.
Yes, they
okay?
did. They did, because that's why they run LeBron James in the fourth quarter playing those looks.
Right.
They don't run them the whole game doing that.
Right.
So when it comes down to pressure and the heart beating,
right.
they have the worst case scenario for you.
Right.
That's why I think they're not going to have a problem with the Mavs. The Mavs are going to look good in a few quarters, mm-hmm. most of the quarters.
Right.
But when it comes down to it defensively, when you have to rely on Barea bringing the ball up the court,
mm-hmm.
because they usually have him in moments where they got to score points,
mm-hmm.
he is going to get harassed by Wade.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Wade is basically going to be guarding him.
Right.
I mean, because they don't really have every team has the weak member of the team
right.
where Mike Bibby can guard.
Right,
exactly. Mike Bibby can guard Jason Terry.
Right.
If Jason Terry's on the court.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, right. that's why I don't think offensively bringing up the ball to court and getting it to Dirk
mm-hmm.
is going to be easy for Dallas. Everybody's saying Dirk's shot is unstoppable, which is true. But you know what is stoppable? Getting the ball to Dirk. If you make it uncomfortable for Dirk to get the ball and he has less time to make those moves,
right.
that's the difference. If you turn that shot clock to he gets the ball in 6 seconds and he has to make moves, he's not going to be as efficient.
Yeah, it's going to be heavy on Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd is going to have to play heavy minutes and he's going to have to really be a stalwart for them because.
And guess who's going to guard Jason Kidd if it came down to it?
Wade or LeBron.
LeBron. And he'll kill Jason Kidd.
I'm not sure if he'll kill him. Jason Kidd's strong, though, dude. It's all about strength, though. I mean, it's not like
he's not stronger than LeBron. He's strong when point guards guard him. He's not strong when he guards him.
Here's the deal. Jason Kidd will do better against LeBron than Derrick Rose did.
Yeah, because Derrick Rose relies on speed.
And what I'm saying let me tell you something. Here's the deal, dog. LeBron, the reason why Jason Kidd will do better is because Jason Kidd is not relied upon to score. And Jason Kidd's first pass doesn't really what's devastating. He just gets the ball like perfect example is when they were playing against the Bull the last game where Sean Marion bounced it up and Dirk Nowitzki had his first three-pointer, missed it. Rebound came out to Jason Terry. He flipped it to Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd sent it over to Marion and Marion hit to Dirk Nowitzki for the three. It's the third pass that Jason Kidd does. Jason Kidd is he's not looking to score. He's just looking to make that pass. And I don't think anybody necessarily can stop him from getting across the court.
Yeah.
Like the second team is
you're right about that.
The second team, I'm telling you, the second team for Dallas is still going to be a hassle for yes. Mario Chalmers, for them fools you're to right. do. It's going to be a hassle for them fools, I'm telling you, because they're going to ISO. And what are they going to do? Spread LeBron might be able to stop him, but that's a lot of energy wasted.
Here's another very core key to that. The difference is the shot release quickness difference between Jason Terry and Kyle Korver.
Right.
Jason Terry and Kyle Korver is basically playing the same role. And right. I'm comparing them just because right. this is the next opponent yeah. for Miami. Right. Jason Terry can get the ball off quicker
right.
and higher. And it is, and even if he has less time, he can still make it.
Right.
And I think that makes a big difference.
Well, you know, when we just look at it, I mean, logically, how long have these fools been playing together?
Who?
Like the core group of the Mavs.
Oh, I thought you meant the Heat. I was about to say as long as Chris Humphries knew Kim Kardashian.
Exactly.
6 months. Oh, but yeah, those fools, the core. I mean, who is the core group?
That's a Jason good Terry, Dirk Nowitzki, Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd's been
about
there for
two years.
Yeah. And Jason Terry and Dirk Nowitzki, 11 years, 10 years since Jason Terry came in the league.
Yeah. I mean, Jason Terry, he played for Atlanta for a long time.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
but at least 5 years, I would say.
Yeah, 6 years.
Five or six years.
Yeah.
That's the same thing they're talking about. We can't overlook it. It's the same thing we're talking about. It's experience and it's how long you've been playing together. No team is going to get blown out in the finals. Can we say that? Aren't all these games decided in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter?
Well, what's interesting is both of these teams can erase 15-point deficits like right. that.
But they're both decided in the last minute. They might erase this one, but 2 minutes left, it's a tie game. So it's about who can execute their game plan in a tie game. And I don't really know if anybody can stop Dallas from execution because they know where everybody's at. I think there's still going to come down to where the Heat are going to have to execute at that time. And I don't know about I'm seeing Rick Carlisle is a good defensive coach. You can't lie and say you can't front and say that he's not a good defensive coach. So I think it's just going to be a thing where it's easy to say the Heat will run through him. But I think when you go 10 deep and you've gone and played 5 series like each of these guys and you still got guys who are fresher and you got 7 game series, I still think it comes down to the bench and the depth, and I think Dallas can win in 7. Who has home court advantage? We never figured that out, huh?
I don't know. Let me figure that out real quick. I got to fall back.
Bye.
You're listening to the Atypical Sports Show.
Welcome back to the Atypical Sports Show. Did a little research, and the winner of the NBA Finals home court advantage goes to the Heat of Miami. Congratulations.
The Heatles.
I don't like that.
You don't?
No, because they used to say the Seatles. The Boston Seatles when they first came.
Did they?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
My boy Kevin used to always say, this the Seatles, and he stood by it. So if it ain't original, don't come with it again. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
But I think Miami, man, I what do you think about the 2-3-2 format?
The 2-3-2 format, I think it really should favor the team that has three. And the reason why is because if you just get one split at two.
You going to win three in a row at home?
You're definitely going to win two.
Yeah, but then you got to go and win two more in a row.
No, but you don't.
At the end.
You got one, you split one, right? And then you win two. So then you're up 3-1.
Yeah, then you have to win one on the road.
That's fine, but you got three games to win that one row. Most teams don't lose three in a row. It's very hard for a team that's lesser than Dallas Mavericks, but most teams don't lose three in a row. So if you get a split and you say, all right, I'll take that split, and then I'll win two of my three, so we up 3-2 going in your crib, and you got to win two games, I take that, man.
Well,
that's great odds.
It's kind of like this, though. You think of it from the home field advantage point of view. We win one at home, we split. Let's say we split. All we got to do is win one on the road, and we got two at home.
Right.
So it's kind of, I mean, you can look at it both ways.
But is home court advantage, are we overstating home court advantage in the NBA, though?
No, I think it makes a difference, for sure.
Just because of the calls.
No, because of the number of beds.
Right. But it's more not necessarily the home court advantage, like you get motivated by the crowd. It's more the calls you get.
Yeah, and because the crowd motivates the referees. That's what I heard, too. Like, you just, it's a pressure situation. You ever refereed before?
God, I refereed for a rec ball little softball thing. I mean, just little kids doing softball. And I've never sweated so much.
There's so much influence that you don't even think it's influencing you.
No.
But obviously the home court's influencing your calls.
Yeah, it is funny, though, because you don't think it. But one person says one thing, and that next call you make, all right, strike. You're like, damn, he did make me do that. I'm a bitch. What you got?
What I got, man, I got a couple things, dude. I got some birthdays, of course. I don't know. I got birthdays, and I got something, an observation I made about Lance Armstrong. I watched him on my 60 Minutes report. Remember, I always bring my 60 Minutes stuff?
Yeah, you did.
What do you want me to do first?
I want you to do birthdays.
Okay, happy. And, you know, I'll mix it up. I'll throw birthdays in. We'll go birthdays here and here. Happy birthday. Actually, it's posthumous. Are you okay with it?
Dude, you love death. Won't you just name it what it is, dog? It's death day.
No, they didn't die, but the person's dead. So he's not celebrating the birthday.
Oh.
But he would have turned 90 to... No.
George Burns.
He would have turned 100 today.
George Burns.
Vincent Price.
It's your birthday. Then happy birthday.
Yes.
Thriller.
If it wasn't for Thriller, I wouldn't
know who the hell Vincent Price is.
Yes, but...
Next.
No, hold up, though, man. Vincent Price was so irrelevant in 1983, but he recorded Thriller. Well, it put him back on the map, but we even know him to mention him on the birthday. Like, who in the world
was he before then?
He did all of the horror like movies, like back in the silent movies. No, like back in the like 40s and 50s, like black and white type.
Do you think dudes who make horror movies have bad dreams? Like M. Night Shyamalan wakes up like, oh man, I had a scary dream.
And right, he write it down though. He got a notebook. Next to him, and he goes to his meetings with a notebook prepared.
Then he probably has an incredible podcast host.
Happy 75th birthday to
George Burns.
Close. The Fiddler.
Bob Hope.
Fiddler. Louis Gossett Jr. Happy birthday.
He's 75 years old.
Yes, Enemy Mine.
And he's still alive.
Office and a Gentleman.
Okay. Officer.
Officer and a Gentleman.
An office with a gentleman living in it.
Officer. Say it real fast.
Officer.
Overseer and a Gentleman.
Overseer and a Gentleman. Overseer.
You know what's so funny about Overseer and a Gentleman? We could combine, like, what if we had Fiddler playing the role of Louis Gossett in Officer and a Gentleman? Mayo. You never seen Officer and a Gentleman, huh?
I just remembered Richard Gere carrying that white woman over and then playing that song.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, I'm not mad at him.
I'm only looking at highlights.
Yeah.
Sports Center.
These guys share the same
LeBron
birthday.
LeBron James trying to pretend like he real cool now, though.
No, he always pretended like he always wore. Remember when he used to always wear those sweater vests?
Mm-hmm.
He always had that. Hey, I'm up on fashion. Oh my God, he's wearing his headband in the press conference. This is.
Oh my God, he's wearing it as a choker.
But bling, bling.
If I was your lover.
Okay, go ahead.
Now that you mentioned LeBron James, I got a bone to pick about the perception of Lance Armstrong.
Okay.
No, I'm bullshitting. What really got me when I realized I saw Lance Armstrong and I saw the story and they showed me how the operation worked, how institutionalized the steroids were. As far as the United States Postal Service team, where the guy, Tyler Hamilton, said, I felt privileged when they finally gave me my package. Like, I was good enough to be on the team, and they trusted me enough. I saw Lance get syringed. I saw it. All of us was on it. We were on a program, and once you were on that program, you get that lunch bag, you felt privileged. You know what I realized? Tiger Woods on that dope.
Oh, you know what else I realized? Mm-hmm. LeBron James on
exactly.
that dope.
Nike's on that dope.
Yeah.
Well, what I realize is it's bigger than the athlete.
It's so bigger.
It's almost like all these people, the Colombians getting, or not the Colombians, the crack dealers and the crack addicts getting thrown in jail when there's a whole infrastructure of airplanes flying the dope in.
Right.
Like, it's bigger than that. Right. When I saw how Tyler Hamilton was hyped, he got selected to be part of a team to one. Not even win the Tour de France.
Just to be riding with
Just
him.
To be blocking people off, and I'm part of the team.
Right.
And I'm on steroids to do this.
Right.
That's why I'm not even mad at my boy Floyd. What's his name? Lloyd. What's his name? Floyd?
Landis.
Lloyd. I'm not even mad at him because he was part of that bullshit team.
Yeah,
he was like, so you know what? As soon as he gone, I'm going to get this victory. I'm going to take a steroid to block people.
Exactly. I'm going to get the next belt then. Yes. You know what I'm saying? So the funny thing about it is like, do you think all these fools are like happy when they get the package? Like LeBron, you know, he's 17 years old. Yeah. And he said, well, you got you special, man. You got the package.
Calling Mr. James.
I got the package. Take this. No, I mean, Tiger Woods on HGH. I wouldn't doubt that.
I would be surprised if he wasn't.
Yeah, because you have to understand, when you're at that upper one percent of people at that level, you're getting all the best of everything. You're just not getting the best food and getting shitty doctors, okay? Yes. You're not getting great head and shitty women, okay? Unless you're Tiger. But no, the whole thing is you're getting the best of everything. You cannot take away. These guys live the best of everything. So why wouldn't they look for access? They don't think anybody's going to tell, or they're going to find out.
Well, it's not even that they're looking for it. They look for them.
Right.
Because it's almost like pharmaceutical sales.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sell the drug.
Right.
You have to push the drug. I'm your pusher, man. Most drug addicts didn't wake up and say, hey, I want to try crack.
Oh, my gosh, I got crack under my pillow.
I'm going to find it. Most of the time, it is presented to them. Hey, try this out, man. It ain't that bad. You know, nobody knows about it. It's the salesman, pharmaceutical salesman, which is, you know, obviously one of the most lucrative businesses where you got to have that game where you go into a doctor's office. Hey, here's some samples. Give these samples to your clients.
Right.
You know, it's on that level where obviously they have the you know, people who went up on the pharmaceutical sales, like, boom, I'm working with Nike. I'm working with EDO companies, EPO companies that's selling the EPOs, the HGH companies. I'm selling it
exactly.
to Nike. I'm selling it to their clients, and I'm making it big. And guess what? I got the biggest clients in the world.
Yep.
And you know what? It's exclusive because everybody within this circle has to be trusted.
And they all got to pay out the ass. It don't matter. They're still going to pay because there's trust there. So you can pretty much charge what you want to charge. Because those guys have unlimited money.
Speaking of steroids, I got twin birthdays popping off in the baseball world. They were born on the same day. They birthday. What we call them? Birth friends. They was born on the same day, though. Like, actually, the same year, same day. 1968.
Who?
Jeff Bagwell and Frank Thomas.
Which
of them took more dope between the two?
You think Jeff Thomas?
Frank Bagwell?
Yes, they both did. Yeah. I would say Jeff Bagwell.
They
did.
Probably started them at the same hospital the same day. Like, they probably was part of the whole
thing. You got the package? We got the package!
And we're going to try it to these two guys that came out. One from one side of the tracks, the others from this side.
Hey, Jeff Bagwell more.
Happy 40th birthday, posthumously. She would turn 40 today.
Ooh.
Don't change.
trees and waterfalls. Moving all back the time. That you used to. Yes. She is Gemini too. May 27th. Happy birthday to you. And finally, Friday's podcast will end with a double feature. We got these two kids, was born on the same day, 1975, and I'll give you a hint of one. He's a Gemini. Andre 3000 was born on the same day as Jadakiss. Pretty interesting, huh? Can you give me top three Andre 3000 songs?
This is Hollywood.
Wow,
Hollywood.
You're trying to be different.
No, I love that song, Hollywood. Really? And the other one is
it's not Hollywood. Hold on, listen. We got time.
Hollywood Divorce.
Hollywood Divorce. Yeah,
Hollywood Divorce.
That. Okay. No. We might not go out to that because okay. You know what? Freeze on a Andre 3000 because I think that's probably more exciting to hear. Do you have top three Jadakiss songs?
Crickets.
Why?
That wasn't even him. Oh, that was him. Yeah, I thought you were talking about. I get high. No. Why?
I get why is one of them, and then there's none other that I have.
You know what I like? I liked on the "We'll Always Love Big Papa." That's the first time I ever like noticed that they were really spitters.
Uh-huh.
When they was busting about Biggie, I was like, damn, those guys, they're pretty hot right there. Yeah. And Money, Power, Respect.
Okay.
Or what about All About the Benjamins?
Yeah, but that's not Jadakiss.
No, I'm just saying. Well, maybe verses.
Because that verse right there, Jadakiss verse was okay in that one.
Yeah, it was all about Kim. Huh?
Yeah, it was all about Lil Kim and Big Papa. I've been asking.
It was about the beat change. Oh, yeah. It was the beat change with his. And Kim came out with the Venom, dude. Like, dressing all black like an omen.
Happy fans saying, this is for my homie. Now you know me for making things so sick.
Speaking of, you know what? We'll keep to that note. We'll go to the my trusty Bible of the summer. This right. The top.
Oh no, man! Come on.
No, I'll just go through. I can't go through all of it now.
You just go through it when you want to, then, dude.
No, I'm just going to say where did that song come in? The one we're just singing.
All about the Benjamins.
Yeah, all about the Benjamins.
It's
got to
be
remix.
Top 60.
Well, Jadakiss' song it's didn't come up yet.
That. And the living that we put weight. That's the whole. The
hold me down, baby. I can't find it. Oh my God. It's the number two song of the 90s. Look at that.
Is that a little too high? That's a little too high. There,
that's
couple
a little
XL.
Too high.
Sorry,
man.
I think we're going to end on that note. 480-664-9378. Atypical Sports Show with your host, Rob and Key. Holler at us on Atypical Sports Twitter,
Facebook
fan page, and also get us up on, subscribe to us on iTunes, man. Great show again today. Atypical Sports, that's how we roll.
You're not going nowhere, player. You got to finish your last two outcasts. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but that's what I want to hear.
Andre 3000, Hollywood Divorce. And then also, Jazzy Bell remix.
So different right now.
And Jazzy Bell remix and
Walk It Out remix.
Aquemini.
The song Aquemini?
Yes, the song Aquemini.
No, what about when he did the song Growing Old? Or remember, and as an outcast, I was learned, I was burned.
That was Aquemini.
Like, that wasn't a like, song.
Take me to a never level elevator, but I ain't the one that's shooting the bus, and I got left at the 13th floor. That was Thought Process.
The thought, yeah, it was off of Goody Mobs.
Goody Mobs. Goody Mobs.
Can we?
But you know what? Though, don't sleep on this song though. Art of Storytelling Part 4.
Yeah,
she said, "I don't fuck with nobody's Jacob." Other good to play on that Jacob.
Go 3. He said, "Girls up in there,
exfoliate." Go 3000.
We out, man. A typical sports show with our dogs. But yeah, we are on typical.
Peace.
So I'm watching her fine ass walk to my bedroom and thought to myself, that's the shape of things to come. She said, why in the club you don't make it precipitate, you know, make it rain when you can make it thunderstorm. I'm like, why? The world needs sun, the hood needs fun, so there's a war going on and half the battle is guns. How dare I throw it on the floor when people are poor? So I write like Edgar Allan to restore, got a cord umbilical attached to a place that can't afford no landscaping or window draping. This old lady told me if I ain't got nothing good,
Saint Nathan. That's why I don't talk much. I swear it don't cost much to pay attention to me. I tell it like it is, then I tell it how it could be. The hood be requesting my services. Oh, don't get nervous. It's step your game of time. These ain't them same old rhymes designed to have you dancing in some club. Niggas ride to me, women be off in they tub, exfoliating with they pom-poms, yelling, go 3,000. I'm in my whatever, bumping while 100 miles and running, 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 summon, woman, coming, sit down, heard you need some plumbing, dunning. I'm in a swell mood, a rather swole mood, until she told me that she told dude that she'll be back, she's going to the store. I didn't know she had a boyfriend, so the door I pointed her to, I said, call me when y'all break up. I don't fuck nobody, bitch, you never owned a Jacob. Know what time it is, nigga, just trying to live like a nigga's supposed to live. If I still drink that malt liquor, I'd cold a beer on the ground for niggas not around. I started off starving, now they got me out here Brett Farvin', trying to see if I still got it, got it. I guess it's like a right, think about it, about it, about it, about it.
Nothing gonna stop us now, you can't stop us. What you gonna do right now, you can't run. We the boss in here, we lost this shit. Cause ain't nobody doing it like we do, oh no. Nothing gonna stop us now, you can't stop us. What you gonna do right now, you can't run. We the boss in here, we lost this shit. Cause ain't nobody doing it like we do, oh no.
This bitch in the VIP, I used to clip like Rob the Bar, but it seemed she couldn't shape up. Cupcaker, I didn't bother, she's a follower, a hell of a swallower, not a leader. Got a first, second, third, and fourth string, I didn't need her. I didn't mean to treat her like she was the main feature presentation. Her just a trailer to the situation, more like a hassle because she had no keys to the castle. The queen sits on the throne while this hoe ride down on national Zoom. Go ahead, oh, and beat your feet. Drop, drop, drop down and get your eagle on, freak. We ever so discreet with this meat. Got a whole lot to lose if paparazzi ever shot or shoot. We, meaning me and you, us together in the lens. My ends would be gone just like some throw in the wind. Told a hoe you gonna win. Show enough, we gon' pretend to the land of make-believe. Now come on and hit this hen. Taking shots to the neck, now that's love in your mouth. Oh, now we're affiliates, so don't give me the gangster grill. No drama, it makes no sense. I got a mean ass backhand and a that don't miss. Bitch.
Nothing gonna stop us now, you can't stop us. What you gonna do right now, you can't run. We the boss in here, we've lost this shit. Cause ain't nobody doing it like we do, oh no. Nothing gonna stop us now, you can't stop us. What you gonna do right now, you can't run. We the boss in here, we've lost this shit. Cause ain't nobody doing it like we do.